It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45 with something that I'm not recalling. This is not today's topic, though. This is yesterday's at 2:30. Why does April 15th matter? It is tax day, amongst other things. And in mere minutes, it's the Shirts and Skins movie review of The Other Guys. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yeah, coming up in stems and seeds, believe it or not, Arizona might have hired a basketball coach that doesn't feel dirty.
Yeah, that's right.
It's kind of tough to do, but I think they may have pulled it off. So as we start this third hour, a couple things to let you know about. First off, we are, of course, glad you're here with us on a Thursday. It appears that if you go to hornfm.com, the Twitch stream. Now we're back up, baby. We were having some technical issues. My theory is that Trey's halitosis today might have done it. He's put the camera so close to his own nose and mouth.
That wasn't it.
I think your breath took us off the air.
That wasn't it. My breath doesn't smell good. I'm on my second cup of coffee today, but that would only break the screen in front of me. That would not break the entire Twitch broadcast.
Fair enough. Fair enough. We have said happy retirement to LaMarcus Aldridge today, even though he's kind of being forced to retire, but he's trying to take care of himself. He's had the irregular heartbeat thing. We hope they get that all figured out. LaMarcus retiring. The Texas coaching staff on the basketball side has been made official, including Rodney Terry, Jarence Howard, and here we go. Yurik Malagi.
Give sure.
It a shot. Sure. Also, Chris Ogden and Coach Dunwald, or Bob Dunwald, will be the special assistant to the coach. That's all been made official. USC gets probation, but not a postseason ban. And for you basketball fans, we now know who will induct Kobe Bryant, who will present him for induction into the Naismith Hall of Fame. The families get to choose, if they like, a previous Hall of Famer to introduce their respective family member, and Kobe's crew and I guess others decided that Michael Jordan was the way to go. So Michael Jordan is going to induct Kobe. We found out basically at Kobe's funeral that those guys were a lot closer than people thought.
Mm-hmm.
That relationship was very different than some people may have some may have interpreted it. So that is coming up May 15th for the induction if you want to check that out. I'm sure that'll be a good speech from Mike.
Yeah, very emotional, I'm imagining.
All right, so we moved around our movie review. Normally we do that Thursdays at 1, but we moved it for an NFL draft guest. We're glad to do that, just like we're glad to talk about it right now. So movie review time. We are headed to the comedy world today because we didn't want to keep it so heavy. We'd gone Children of Men and then Reservoir Dogs. So we thought, yeah, let's, you know, maybe hose the blood off the walls here for a week. And we'll do that with The Other Guys, the 2010 buddy cop movie directed by Adam McKay. That is Will Ferrell's writing partner. If you don't know, they are the group that also brought us Anchorman, brought us Talladega Nights, and brought us Step Brothers, just to give you a sense for the other big time movies that they did.
I mean, what an insane four film run for Adam McKay as the writer and director of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Anchorman, Talladega Nights, Step Brothers, and The Other Guys?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hell of a run. Hell of a run. Apparently there was a discussion, like they were out to eat, the three of them. Never knew about this in the movie. So, you know, as we always say, spoiler alert if you haven't seen the movie and all that, and you can come back at 2:25. But I had not seen this movie, but it wasn't spoiled for me. About Mark Wahlberg, he's the cop, and he is, what, Terry Hoyts is his name. And his big secret, his big thing as to why the police world has turned their back on him is that during the World Series at one point, he inadvertently shot Derek Jeter.
He's a biracial angel, Chad.
Oh, my God.
The Yankee Clipper, because you hear them call him Yankee Clipper a couple of times early on. And they don't let that one hang. They actually get to that pretty quickly in the film where it's him in the tunnel telling Jeter to stop. Doesn't realize it's Jeter, of course. Hey, stop. Oh, my God. The guy had a bat. Ends up shooting him. And Jeter, who has earbuds in, is like, you jerk, I'm Derek Jeter.
Oh man, that was kind of cool. So that helped to set up why he might be a little bit blackballed by the police world, mm-hmm. and then Will Ferrell just plays the super nerd accountant guy, and you kind of find out a little bit about him later.
And that's a departure for Ferrell, who plays this like childish 40-plus-year-old in all of the other movies that he does with McKay, whether it's Ron Burgundy mm-hmm. or one of the brothers and Step Brothers. Obviously, as Ricky Bobby in Talladega Nights, he just plays that lovable idiot, too. He's not an idiot in this movie. He certainly has his moments where he does make you laugh, but he's playing more of the straight guy than what we were accustomed to mm-hmm. with Will Ferrell at this time.
Yeah. Seeing the interaction between the two of them was interesting because I'd seen Wahlberg. I mean, not that he hasn't done comedy. I'm a big fan of Ted. I thought the original Ted movie was good, and Wahlberg was funny there. So I enjoyed watching the two of them go back and forth. I'll admit I was a little sad that the Samuel L. and Rock characters don't exist in this movie any longer. They don't get a long run in the movie. I was kind of looking forward to how that was all going to play, and eventually they're not in the film anymore.
Well, that speaks to one of my all-time favorite comedy scenes.
All right, I was going to get to this. You want to reveal? This is a top tenner for you?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember where I was, the time of day, who I was sitting with the first time I ever saw the scene where the Rock and Sam L. characters are chasing after the diamond thieves, the uh-huh. jewelry store robbers.
I think that's right.
And they chase them to the top of the building. Those guys zip line back down to street level. They cut the zip line, and the Rock and Sam L. look at one another like, you got this, partner? Yeah, we're going to land in those bushes below. And they jump, and you're like, how in the world are they going to do this? How are they going to keep these guys alive? Well, the answer is they don't. They splat hard on the sidewalk. I crack up at that scene
really?
Every time.
Okay.
I laugh way too hard than what I probably should, but it caught me so off guard the first time that I just relive that memory in my head over and over again every time I watch that scene.
One of my favorite additional lines that comes later, it may even be at the funeral, but they give Mark Wahlberg this line where he turns to Will Ferrell and mentions something about, man, there wasn't even an awning. There weren't even any awnings on the way. Something like that. I thought that was a nice additional line because the scene didn't really hit me that same way. Like, it didn't hit me as an uproariously funny moment when it first happened, but sort of the way they dealt with it afterwards had a little bit of funny to it.
Did it surprise you, though?
It completely surprised me. Just like, it was weird.
I think that's my sixth sense of humor. It must be.
It's like McKay and Ferrell got twice in this movie. They used someone falling to their death as a joke.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to do in a movie. I'll respect them just for trying it. That scene, and then later on, a scene we've seen hundreds of times in all these movies, the negotiator scene trying to talk the guy down off the ledge. And ultimately, he comes down off the ledge, but it ain't because anybody talked to him.
I think with the first jump to their death scene, a lot of that has to do with those guys are the indestructible heroes.
Right.
We had already seen them in that first scene where they're doing all sorts of crazy things in the car, and they end up catching the bad guys, and they're defying death left and right. So this is a moment where it's not like they're in a shootout or something else. They just make a really poor decision, being way too brazen with their own abilities, and it costs them their lives.
Yeah, I just enjoyed that. I'm wanting to see where it might go. The scene in the police house after the initial scene of the movie where Samuel L. Jackson and The Rock are, just being complete, type A
mm-hmm.
egomaniacs,
Alpha,
and literally the police chief to do the, all right, who wants to do their paperwork for them? Because they're clearly not going to do it. They're too awesome to do it,
Speaking of police chief, how great was Michael Keaton?
It's a great casting.
As the police chief.
Maybe my favorite casting of the movie. I've tried to determine if there was another one. Outside the main guys, I think that might be my favorite choice that they made. I'm a big Michael Keaton fan. People don't know. If you weren't in that right time period, you don't always think of him as a funny guy. But he can be so funny. And some of the little details that he came up with as the captain was great. The scene later in the movie where he's giving the speech to the people at Bed Bath & Beyond, his second job,
mm-hmm.
that scene, to me, that's going to grow on me really well over time. I thought he delivered that scene really well. That was a funny joke.
His unintentional quoting, or maybe intentional quoting, of TLC. at a couple different points.
That made me think of you.
Yeah.
That made me think of you.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was very
good. They actually
good.
Did a good job of casting those secondary roles, including Rob Riggle and Damon Wayans Jr., as the cops who are giving Wahlberg and Ferrell crap nonstop.
Riggle's the perfect casting for that.
Yes, he is.
That was great.
You also have Will Ferrell's wife, played by the lovely Eva Mendez.
Yes.
She's just this beautiful, smart, capable, but subservient wife, despite the fact that Will Ferrell is just this pencil-pushing nerd who doesn't seem like he should be getting the hot girl. He has women throwing themselves at him the entire movie, including Christina. That was another highlight. Christina and her husband.
Yeah, the current wife, the former girlfriend, like every woman in his life that runs through the whole show is that all these really hot women.
The female villain.
Find him attractive. Yes, all of them just find him attractive for some reason. That was a funny idea, kind of a funny bit.
Brooke Shields at the Knicks game.
Yes, Brooke Shields at the game. That was cool. But the idea that you'd be married to someone like Eva Mendez and not think that they're smoking hot. That was and then later you find out that's not actually what's going on specifically. But the idea of that was kind of funny. And the way Wahlberg played it was pretty funny. Of like, no, seriously, dude, who is she? What's going on?
Did you like the Gator backstory?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. It wasn't as developed as I'd like it to be.
Yeah,
it
they had to rush that one along pretty quickly.
It felt a little attempted, but some of the actual lines, forget about the way it fit into the plot, some of his lines of delivery of when he found out about the baby, the Gator line there, the Gator line to Michael Keaton, those were just by themselves kind of funny. Like Will Ferrell saying those words was funny, kind of all by themselves.
Yeah. What's your favorite scene in this movie? Is it Dirty Mike and the boys? Is it when they discover the Prius for the first time and the cop gives a rundown on all the different things that they discovered within this Prius under a highway overpass?
That was pretty good. That was good. Man. You know what? I think my favorite scene is the scene where Wahlberg busts up that TV and Ferrell ends up giving him the speech. I enjoyed that scene for some. I don't know why that scene hit me the right way, but it kind of did. I enjoyed that one where the Will Ferrell character got to kind of spout off, and you know when he's like working with you was like working with the Hulk, like that. Something about that scene I enjoyed. What about you?
So my favorite scene is obviously The Rock and Sam L jumping to their deaths. But if I'm having to pick a number two. Gosh, I don't know. Will Ferrell and Wahlberg going back and forth about the lion versus the tuna. And he's like, I'm a lion. Your ass. And he's like, what are you talking about?
We're off the
coast of Africa here, and you're a lion coming into the water, and me and 30 of my 600-pound tuna buddies get a shot at you. You're in our world now. You just lost that. You didn't think that one would turn that way, did you?
You know what? I think I'm changing my mind. I think that might be it. Because when he does all that and then ends it with the, I didn't. How'd that go for you?
And then he pours the coffee on him. And you also have Mark Wahlberg demanding to that he's a peacock and demanding that they let him fly, even though peacocks don't usually fly.
Right. Yeah.
Those are all up there. I got to go with when they actually meet Dirty Mike and the boys. Dirty Mike played by Adam McKay.
Oh, I didn't realize that's who that was.
Dirty Mike and the boys
said that.
Creep up on the Prius thinking they might be able to make some things happen once again, and they shoo them off.
So I read a weird stat here. They used three different Priuses in the movie.
Huh.
One of them, they put a supercharged engine in that was so big, they had to put it in the back seat.
Wow.
So they made a Prius that could absolutely cook for this movie, but they used three different cars. Also, the little detail of, I think he's calling into the precinct at one point, and he says, we're driving a cocaine-covered car.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. Just the little details every once in a while in this movie.
America!
Helped it out. Yeah, just...
Did you just scream America before you hit the accelerator?
No. Some of that stuff was pretty good.
Yeah, it's... I'm trying to think of some other highlights from this movie. Overall, it's just, you know, it's a great film. I don't think... It's certainly not the funniest comedy, but I do feel like this has been the underrated comedy in the McKay-Will Ferrell collaborations. Everybody knows that Anchorman is great. Step Brothers is starting to get its proper due, and Talladega Nights as well. I think that was a film that was popular enough that it is good. And even though this movie did make a lot of money in the theaters, I don't hear folks talking about it nearly as much as those other three. But it's right up there. I'd probably rank it a little bit below Anchorman and Step Brothers, but I have it ahead of Talladega Nights.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, see, I was going to ask kind of where it would rank in there. I definitely agree with you on Anchorman and Step Brothers. Step Brothers just has that weird sneaky goodness to it, and this one doesn't quite, to me, get to that level. It made $13.1 million on its first day.
Wow.
Did pretty well at the box office overall. Almost $120 million in North America, and it had such a good first weekend, it knocked Inception out of the number one spot.
How about that?
It was the best week. It had the best weekend run at that point. I could see this movie filling the void of just, you just want to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the, like right now, there's an argument that because of all these serious movies up for Oscars, that's why Kong versus Godzilla is actually getting some like eyeballs on it.
Do you want to see that one?
I do not. But people just, some people want to go and...
Now, wait a second. You're a superhero guy. Why wouldn't you want to see that one?
I'm not into that line of the superheroes. That doesn't... Okay. King Kong and Godzilla don't do much for me.
All right.
I've never been into either one of those. So, but it's just like you want to go, and it's the reason that my girls and I will get excited for like a Fast and Furious movie. Let's just go see some cars wreck and people get shot and we'll just lose, you know, forget about stuff. It's the reason I went to see the Odenkirk movie. I knew I wasn't going to see, you know, The Godfather.
You're just going for that sensory candy.
Yeah, and that, I think, is what maybe this movie gave people. I want to go laugh. I want to go have a good time. So that part was good. When I dialed down on this movie a little bit, I have some little critiques of kind of where this movie to me, to let you know kind of where I'm headed here, this movie to me had some of the feeling that I had with Pineapple Express.
Mm.
The parts were good. The bits were good. I thought they had more bits than they had a movie, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
By the end of it, I just didn't think the full drawn-out idea was as good as all the little parts, because the casting was cool, and yeah. Individual parts, I liked the, you know, it's like I liked the bit, but then when the full process, to borrow Brad's word, comes through, it was
That's unfortunate.
Wasn't quite, like, again, it didn't hit the Step Brothers level for me.
I think you're right about that.
Didn't quite get there.
Another funny scene, bad cop.
That was good. Yeah, right. That was good when you get.
I thought you said bad cop.
That's a good cop. Oh, yeah. No, that was good. It was a movie that definitely let Will flip out.
Okay,
which is
great. Based on your criticism, what are you giving this one? 1 to 10.
All right, so I'm going to end up agreeing with, I saw a Rotten Tomato score of 78%, and I saw a B- grade. I'm going 8.0. On the other guys. I liked it. I thought it was good. I just didn't think it came together. The Mark Wahlberg character had a little bit too much Billy Madison to him, where they couldn't figure out how smart or dumb he was supposed to be. I didn't like that.
I think they needed to tone down the dumb just a little bit.
They weren't connecting things like I thought they should. They weren't fully explaining to me what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like the scene you're talking about, when those two guys hit the pavement, like, if you're going to do that, I don't know, it was weird. It was like, that can't be just a accidental moment and you don't really, like, really, we got to get into that if you're going to do it. But it didn't, I don't know, it just didn't quite land the way I wanted it to. So I'll give them the B-. It'll probably grow on me as time goes by. But my first time through, a little disappointed. I'll give it a B.
Wow, okay. I was going to give it an 8.75 until I remember the desk pop scene. And even though, yeah, the story may not have been as cohesive as we would have liked, ultimately, I think there are enough funny moments that I'm still giving it that A grade.
All right.
Give me a solid 9.
9, going 9.0. All right, the desk pop. And Rob Riggle helped that scene out.
Yeah.
He's a great bully.
Yep.
He really is a great bully because you somehow like him and you hate yourself for liking him. But that scene, and then when Wahlberg comes in, no, that's not a thing.
Alan, I just completed my first desk pop.
That is not a thing when he says, but they were so convincing in their argument. again, the little ideas in this movie were good. Just as when it all connected together, I didn't quite have that same feeling. But I would give it another shot. If it's on, I'll rewatch some of it and check it out. The Other Guys, 2010 was our movie today for the movie review. So it'll be my choice next week. Oh, I wonder if we should go Monty Python's Meaning of Life for next week. That could be a heck of a ride. See what Trey thinks of that. All right, coming up, we'll tell you why April 15th matters, tax day and some other stuff. Oh, also a banana. I'm sure food snob guys got some comment there. We'll see what else we can think of to talk about. There is a Hollywood birthday, too, and we just actually mentioned the movie. So we'll connect it all, plus get you the big stories in sports today, including a couple things that may become official by the end of the day. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
If it is Thursday, that means Trey's talking about Books on Pod, his latest podcast that's out there, and hooking the music up to it. Who you got, Trey?
This is Third Eye Blind. The song is Graduate. Of course, after kids graduate, many of them choose to go to college. And the college admissions process has gotten really ridiculous over the last 10 to 15 years as college has become a place that's much less concerned with providing higher education and more concerned with maximizing profits off of a business model. And that, of course, includes the college admissions process. In my most recent episode of Books on Pod, I chat with Matt Feeney, who's the author of Little Platoons, A Defense of Family in a Competitive Age. He does talk about college admissions. It's actually what spurred this entire book and the ridiculous competitiveness within admissions offices and how that makes it harder as a kid and, of course, a parent as well. We talk about that and a whole lot more during our chat. Check it out at booksonpod.com or by searching Books on Pod with Trey Elling wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can get there also on the landing page that now exists at hornfm.com.
Just finished talking about The Other Guys, our movie review this week, 2010, of course, with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. Somebody texted us that Kong vs. Godzilla is fantastic and that we should see it. A lot of people are digging that movie right now.
The problem for me with those sorts of movies is that they're so low. I don't see a ton of films, and it's so low on my list of movies that I want to see next.
Right.
So inevitably, I just never get there. It's like having 10 tabs open. It's like, oh, I want to read every single one of these articles, and I'll only end up getting like 3 or 4 of them done before I just have to cut my losses and move on to the next round of articles.
I think Kong vs. Godzilla is on a streaming service for you right now, but I think you still have to pay extra through like HBO Max to get it.
Okay.
I think it's there, but I think you have to get like maybe it's a premium membership or you have to pay a little extra to actually get it there. So we've just talking The Other Guys. Also, we've mentioned today it is official with Chris Beard and his staff, including Rodney Terry and Chris Ogden. It may be official by the end of the day that the NCAA will allow a one-time transfer to undergraduates. That is not technically official yet, but keep your ears peeled for that one. They'll, if it all is the way we think it will be, all players in all these sports, these additional sports that we're talking about, football, basketball, hockey, baseball, they will have until July 1st of this year to make their choice, and then moving forward, they'll split it up into a May and a July situation. But for Longhorn football fans, the name you need to keep in mind is Malcolm Epps. There are reports out there that Malcolm Epps might be thinking about transferring, so keep an eye out for that. All right, let's get into why today matters. It is April 15th.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
April 15th used to be tax day for people, and I guess it will be next year, but this year there are extensions out there all over the place, so a lot of people, I think it's more June 15th, either May or June 15th is now your tax day. So if it is today, you might want to figure that out.
You're probably screwed.
Yeah. Also today, Trey, this one really spoke to us. Today's National That Sucks Day.
Mm-hmm.
And over the past year, we've had plenty of things. But, you know, today's the day, I guess. I don't know if you're supposed to celebrate the stuff that sucks or you're supposed to try to not avoid.
Call out what sucks.
Avoid the stuff that sucks. Like,
the last 13 months have kind of sucked.
Trying to think of, you know, The Other Guys would be far, far, far from my, like, least favorite. I'm talking about my least favorite comedy of all time.
Oh, I've got it.
What is it for you?
Dude, Where's My Car?
Okay, I've never seen that.
Which I reviewed with BK and Wags.
My least...
God, they love that movie.
My least favorite comedy has got to be Napoleon Dynamite. I don't know that I've ever seen a comedy that hit wrong, more wrong for me,
yeah,
than Napoleon Dynamite. So on National That Sucks Day, yeah, that one sucked for me. It just didn't make any sense.
I'm trying to think of other comedies. I'll tell you one that sucks that I liked as a kid, but it does not stand the test of time, even though it does have one of those scenes that I can laugh at anytime. Starring Dave Chappelle. The movie itself, though, is just god-awful as an adult, and that is Robin Hood Men in Tights.
I
dug that movie as a kid.
I have not seen that movie as an adult, and I bet it doesn't hold up.
I tried to show it to a girlfriend in my early 30s. I'm like, oh, it's so funny. It's got Cary Elwes from Princess Bride and Dave Chappelle. It's his feature film debut, and it's produced by Mel Brooks, may have been directed by Mel Brooks as well. No, didn't work.
That's one of those movies that, yeah, there's plenty of those out there, especially comedies. Comedies, it's tough to hold over time. It's why we were so scared about the Coming to America sequel, and we ended up being very right about our concerns. It's just hard to go back home for those. But even in a situation like this, like the movie we just talked about with the other guys, you've already gone through a series of movies with this actor, with this director, and how many times can they go back to the well and have good ideas? Because eventually, after the other guys, they went back around and tried Anchorman 2. And that thing eventually crashed and burned at the end.
And McKay was a part of that one, too, by
the way.
He
was. He directed that movie.
Yeah.
The end of Anchorman 2, I'll say that does suck on National That Sucks Day. The beginning of it didn't. The end of that movie sucks.
I accidentally caught it. It was so funny. I caught it literally within weeks of you talking about how bad it was. And I'd never seen the end before. And I watched it. I'm like, oh, this is part of Anchorman 2. Let's see what goes on here. They're on the beach for a wedding, and then Ron Burgundy jumps in the water to wrestle a shark, and then the movie's over.
Yeah, the best description.
It made no sense.
The best description I've ever heard of that movie is when you see a lighthouse leave, just stop. Stop right there, and you can actually end up with a decent feeling. So if you want to tell us the things that you think sucks, you can definitely do that. Earlier we were talking about the scene in the comedy that always makes you laugh. We've talked about that today, too. Somebody says, Airplane, picked a bad time to stop sniffing glue.
Mm.
Anytime he says, picked a bad time, I laugh. Every
True.
Single time.
True.
I laugh. You know what? Here, the bit in Airplane that gets me every single time is we've got to get these people to a hospital. A hospital, what is it? It's a big building with patients in it, but that's not important right now. Any version of that, I laugh at. Airplane 1, Airplane 2, doesn't matter. I laugh every single time.
See, my sicko comedy stylings, I love when Kareem grabs the kid by the collar after the kid's telling him about how his dad thinks that Kareem is an overrated bum.
That's a great scene.
Because it's like he gets to break character for a second to defend himself.
He plays it perfectly. And the kid plays it really well.
Yeah.
The kid's reaction is so good. And that's a great example of a scene that really doesn't make any sense, but it's still funny.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really fit into what they're doing necessarily, but it's still so funny every time.
Yep.
So it is National That Sucks Day. Also, Trey, National Banana Day. Do you have a rude thing to say about bananas?
Look, good for you if you like bananas. It's
it doesn't sound real.
Okay. Okay, source for potassium. It is our most phallic fruit.
No,
it's also a fruit that is has a pretty high glycemic load, so I'd be careful eating too many of those as you're getting closer to bedtime. That could cause some problems. But yeah, you know what? If you're eating bananas over some other junk food, you're probably making a pretty wise decision there.
Do you think it's good for the anti-cramping world like they try to make it out to be?
It can be helpful for sure. I think there are better options out there, but yes, it can help.
I like banana flavored stuff too. For some reason, I'm really into that. Whether it's candy or
what were the candies that were shaped like the fruit that they were supposed to taste like?
Oh, Runts.
Runts, yes.
Those little bananas are good.
Didn't like many of the Runts, but the bananas were the exception. And I was never the biggest banana guy, even as a fat kid.
Oh, I would throw the rest of them away practically to get to those bananas. You're right. I loved them. Love the bananas.
Now, here's the important question with bananas. Which end do you open the banana from? Do you open it like a human being or like our primate ancestors?
I use the top handle to open it. That's how I open. Is that not how you're supposed to do it?
Not if you are paying homage to our primate ancestors.
You go from the bottom?
They open at bottom.
Really?
Yeah.
So if I watched a gorilla or an ape or something eat a banana, you're saying they would go to the bottom of it and rip it open that way?
Yep.
Wow. It's gonna be. It's just harder to. Have you ever done it that way? Is it easy to do?
It's not that difficult if the banana's ripe. My poor kids have had to learn that lesson the hard way.
I do. You know, I think I'd rather have a banana that's a little too ripe than the chalky banana. Chalky banana annoys me. When you get that chalky taste, it's harder, harder to peel that way. And then once you taste that first bite of a chalky banana, oh, not good.
You're talking about when the banana is a little bit too firm?
Yeah, just not. It hasn't ripened enough.
Right.
You didn't wait long enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a little green. And you know it usually when you start to peel back, if you go from the top and it bends over on you and it doesn't open up, that's how you know. That's how you know you went too soon.
Agreed.
Too soon.
It's National Laundry Day, Chad.
Ah.
That is my favorite chore.
Really?
Laundry.
Favorite chore is laundry. Not my favorite. I'll do it occasionally.
Occasionally?
Occasionally, I'll
do it. Was Wendy nice enough to do your laundry for you?
My wife normally handles the laundry.
She's very nice.
I handle the unloading of dishwasher. I do all the trash. But usually I don't. And usually the laundry gets done and I didn't realize it. I fold laundry all over the place. But normally the actual washing and drying of the laundry, she does that. And then I'm involved in the folding and putting away. She hates to do that part. So with her, you'll just find piles of stuff all over the place with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to deal with it. She's like, there it is. It's clean. You got to get it to wherever you want it.
It's also McDonald's Day. Now, I have to say this while admitting I haven't been to McDonald's in a long time. Last time I was in a McDonald's, I actually bought some Subway. It was late night. We had just gotten done with the bar in Chi-Town, drink up. Everybody was going to McDonald's. I'm like, I have more respect for my system than that.
So here we go.
Went and got a 6-inch from Subway across the street and then met them in the McDonald's. It was like 2:30, 3 o'clock. Nobody cared. So that was the last time I was in a McDonald's. That would have been about 10 years ago. But the last time I ate in a McDonald's may have been like 15 or 20 years ago. How frequently are you going to McDonald's?
I don't go super frequently, although just a week or so ago when Sacamano and I went to the hockey game, Sacamano is in a serious McDonald's phase right now. He loves to just crush their regular hamburgers, the one that would come with a Happy Meal.
Yeah.
So we
get the little chopped up onions on there, a couple pickles.
We pulled up the other day and he said, what do you want? And I said, I'll have whatever you're having. So he had two burgers and a bottled water and so did I. So I killed two of those burgers the other day.
And if you're going two McDonald's burgers, why are you wasting the bottled water at that point?
He thought that made it healthier.
It's like getting spinach on the pizza.
Yeah. They've got some they've done some pretty good work these last few years trying to get a little more variety in the menu. I still wish they'd bring back the little, what they call it, the Little Mac or the Mac Junior, when they went to a size smaller Big Mac and a size bigger. That smaller one was a really good burger. And I don't know why they made a little adjustment on the meat. I thought it was good. They adjusted the side. They took that extra bun out of the middle, which made the bread to meat ratio really good for me.
And always then, a problem for me with the Big Mac.
Yeah, and then it went away. I actually dug it, though. McDonald's folks, if you're out there, the Mac Junior, whatever you called that, that was great. And the Mac Snack Wrap, where they took a Big Mac and put it in a tortilla, surprisingly good. You wouldn't have expected it. Surprisingly good. Bring it back, McDonald's.
Either that or
bring it back.
Or either that or the other one has been overcooked for a long time. Figuratively and literally. The original Big Mac was that bad that they put it in a tortilla and it actually makes it edible.
Every once in a while, like once a year, for some reason I crave a Big Mac. Not sure why, but I do.
I used to love the Texas Homestyle Burger because it was the only burger in their arsenal that they would put just mustard on. They didn't put ketchup or anything else like the Quarter Pounder.
By the way, good bit in an ultimately bad movie, but when Mr. McDowell laid that line out about the what do you call his? Not McFlurry. I can't remember what he called his dessert, where he said, we put our toppings on the bottom. That's going to make me laugh every time I see it. And again, it was
that from the new one?
That's from the new one.
Okay.
Sloppy movie overall. It was a complete disappointment in a lot of ways. But those McDowell McDonald's jokes landed for me just like they did in the first movie.
Yeah, they should have only gone with those. They didn't need to rehash the ones from the first movie.
McFlurby. Is that what he called it? I think a McFlurby.
I think so.
We put our toppings on the bottom, and he said it with the most serious face. Oh, my God, I needed more John Amos in that movie and less of Eddie Murphy and some of the rest. All right, coming up, stems and seeds before we get out of here, including how Arizona filled the vacant job in basketball. And also, we got a new home for a former cowboy. Don't move. It's the Horn.
Shirts and skins.
So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand.
We're bringing it full circle. We had a DMX Will Smith discussion earlier in the week, and now parents just don't understand. Trey? Never. They never understand. Trey did a talking podcast today, the Books on Pod podcast about parenting and kids and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Parents don't understand. It's hard to understand how to parent in 2021 with all the competitiveness and things like that. Whether you're just parenting in public, doing so through school, youth sports with screen time, trying to help get your kid into college. Matt Feeney and I talk about that and a whole lot more as discussed in his new book, Little Platoons. Check it out at booksonpod.com.
All right, before we get out of here, stems and seeds for you. Here we go.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Arizona found their new basketball coach, and he doesn't even feel dirty. Tommy Lloyd, at least not yet. He was an assistant at Gonzaga. That can't be all bad, right? He was hanging with Mark Few. He will now be Arizona's new basketball coach. Also, former Cowboy Alden Smith. That's weird to say. He wasn't a Cowboy for very long. But now he's a Seattle Seahawk. One-year deal, not $10 million. He was only making about $4 million with the Cowboys, so I don't think it's going to be quite that much, but the 31-year-old Alden Smith trying to find another home in Seattle. Also, tonight we will wish nothing but the best to Texas women's basketball player Charlie Collier. By all reports, she'll be the number one pick in the WNBA draft. They'll fire it up at 6 on ESPN if you want to check it out. Even if Dallas doesn't take her with the first pick, they've got the second pick. But if they do take her with the first one, it'll be the first Texas player ever to be taken first in the WNBA draft. Also tonight, when the triple option is done, check out Flex ATX with Snoop and the crew. If you love your high school sports, especially all the spring sports going on right now, Snoop has got you covered with insights, thoughts, highlight stuff for you. That Flex ATX website is going bonkers right now. And you've also got cool interviews with athletes from around the area. That is 7 to 9 every Thursday now with Flex ATX. All right, we'll be back for a Friday show tomorrow. Our normal visit with Dustin McComas. Also, we got an interview with the MLS commissioner as we lead up to Austin FC's first game. We'll replay that for you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a good afternoon. Triple Option is next. See ya.